Well, good morning, everyone. This is John Alls, and I'd like to welcome you today on behalf of Independence Baptist Church. Let me take a minute to introduce our church to those of you that are new to the broadcast. Independence Baptist Church is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and we've actually been located there since the early 1970s. And prior to that, we were actually located in Wentzville, Missouri, and at that time, we were a mission. Now, our church is what you'd call an independent, local, missionary Baptist church. And you might ask, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to take just a minute before we start the broadcast today to explain some of that. Basically, when we say we're independent, we mean that there's no hierarchy or organization that controls our local church outside of the local church itself. We have a congregational form of church government, which basically means that the members vote about all the decisions that need to be made. We have members, we have a pastor, and above that, the head of our church is God. So we don't have a hierarchy of people outside of the local church that are controlling what we do and when we do it, and the decisions about what the Bible means about certain things. We follow the scriptures, and we follow Christ alone. Now, what do we mean when we say local? Well, it's similar to some of the things we mean when we say independent, but when we say local, we actually mean that we don't believe in an invisible or visible universal church. So we don't believe in a universal church that, you know, everybody that's saved in the entire world throughout the entire span of time is part of the church. We believe in a local, visible church. That means that we believe that the church is a local body of saved, baptized believers that's living and present right now at that particular location. And the missionary part of our name, that's pretty self-explanatory. It means that we believe in spreading the gospel of Christ. And we do this as individuals of the church by sharing the gospel with those that we come into contact with, whether it's at town or whether it's at work or just friends that we know. We also do this by supporting local and foreign missionaries. And by the way, those missionaries, because we're independent, those missionaries are not chosen by someone outside the church, but they're chosen by our church members. The money is sent directly to the missionaries and not to a local board that gets to decide who gets the money and what they're going to do with it. I'd also mention that this radio broadcast that you're listening to right now, as well as the website that I'll talk about in a little bit, is part of us being a missionary church. We feel that the Great Commission, obviously out of the New Testament, is that we are supposed to spread the gospel of Christ. And because of that, we're a missionary church. And the Baptist part, well, the Baptist part, honestly, I don't think I could explain in a couple of minutes, but I can give you a couple of highlights of some things that distinguish Baptist churches over the period of time. One thing about Baptists, we believe in immersion for baptism. We don't believe in sprinkling. It is 100% immersion. We believe that baptism is not part of salvation, but instead is a symbol showing what God has already done for us. We believe that baptism is required to become a member of the church. We also believe that the scriptures are the final authority and the only word of God. So in other words, we don't base our doctrine on something outside of the Old or the New Testament. We do not believe that some other books, such as writings from the early church fathers, are as important as the scriptures. The Bible is the only inspired word of God. The Bible is what God gave us to learn about Him and to base our doctrines and our beliefs on. And if you'd like to know more about what we believe, you can log into our website, which is www.independencebaptist.org. The website actually contains multiple books and articles that help explain what we believe. These books are free to download. However, there is a charge if you want us to print and mail you a copy. Well, we need to go ahead and get started on today's message. And it'll probably come as a surprise, but the message is not about the history of Independence Baptist Church, and it's not about what a Baptist church is. Instead, the message today is about the kingdom of God, or what is the kingdom of God. You know, our text for today will be in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, and Pastor Reynolds has titled the message, "The Blade, the Ear, and the Full Corn." So listen in now as Pastor Reynolds shares with us this parable about the kingdom of God.
Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29, and the title of the message is really simple, "The Blade, the Ear, and the Full Corn." So let's read these verses. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep, and arise day and or night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you let us come tonight. Lord, I pray that you might be with this word. Give me the ease of preaching it. Give me the understanding of the things that I've studied about it. And Lord, I pray that your name be glorified and honored in the things that we say. I trust that you give us understanding about what your kingdom is. And help us as we live that we might be recipients of your blessings. And Lord, that we might be also exhibitors, Lord, of what you are to us. Bless and keep us, Lord, in our church. Help us that we might be true and faithful to you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. In the explanation of this parable, and of course a parable is always true. Jesus Christ never did teach a truth from a lie. He doesn't do that. But in the explanation of this, and if you read commentaries about the explanation of what this passage means, a lot of the commentaries that I read reveal that this parable is speaking about the individual growth of a person, of a believer in the Lord, and how that believer develops in his Christian life from being saved, and then he dedicates himself to the Lord, and as time progresses, he goes on to other things. Well, if you just look at the parable, it's not talking about individuals. What is it? What's it about here? And if you just read this, it says in verse 26, "So is the kingdom of God." In other words, the subject is not necessarily individuals. Rather, the subject is how the kingdom of God works. Now, let's back up a little bit. In verse 21, he said unto them, and the subject that here he's talking about is, of course, the sowing of the seed. That's up there about in verse 14 as he gives the interpretation of this. And he talks about the interpretation in Mark chapter 4, verse 14 through verse 20. And then he said in verse 21, "It is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick. For there is nothing hid that shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And then he says in verse 24, "Take heed what you hear." Now he just got through saying, "If any man have an ear, let him hear." Then he said, "Okay, be careful of what you're hearing." All right, talking to the individuals, of course. "With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." And then he goes on in verse 26 and said, "So is the kingdom of God." All right? So he's using an example here of what happens to individuals. And he just got through saying in verse 24, "Take heed what you're hearing." In verse 23, he admonishes the people to listen. He's talking to individuals there. And says, "I want you to listen." And then he says, "Okay, here's another lesson I want you to learn. With what measure you meet," in other words, how you measure others is the way you're going to be measured. "And unto you that hear shall more be given." And so when you do as God has given you to do, then you shall receive more from God. It's like this. God has given to you 25 cents. And you have invested that 25 cents well. Therefore, God will give you a half a dollar along with the 25 cents because you've taken care of what He's given to you. That's what He's saying here. And then He says in verse 25, "For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." In other words, the person that didn't take care of what God gave him will lose what he has. All right? Now that's what he's saying. But then he says in verse 26, so is the kingdom of God. In other words, this is the way it works. This is the way it is. You want to grow in the Lord, then use what you have. And if you do not want to grow in the Lord, then do not use what you have. Piece of cake, isn't it? That's the way it works. And this thing works rather privately. This thing is not necessarily a public thing. Here, there are some hidden things about the kingdom of God and the way it works. Just as there are hidden things in the development of every believer. There's hidden things. Say, what do you mean? It's hidden from public view. Here's what I'm talking about. The kingdom of God will grow and develop in ways that we can never understand. And so it is with individuals who can grow and develop in ways that we cannot perceive, in ways that we cannot see. Why? It's because they do their study, they do their devotions privately before the Lord. They study on their own. They do more than just come to services, but their lives are dedicated to the things of God. They love the Lord. They serve the Lord. They're dedicated to the Lord. Well, they read their Bibles when they don't even have to. They pray because they want to. He said the kingdom of God is, in that same manner, private. In that same manner, there are means of growth in the kingdom that is hidden from the ordinary. That's what he's saying in this place. So is the kingdom of God. Now, there is progressive sanctification. You know what that is. There is sanctification, which means we're set aside into the things of God. Then there is progressive sanctification. That's kind of a theological term, but nevertheless it's there. And that is that growth that we have in the Lord, but that growth is there and it develops because of private devotions, private prayer time. It comes on in a way that is mysterious to many. But God is behind it all. And just as the seed is planted and it germinates, a man does not know how. And it develops into a blade and then it turns into a stalk and then it turns into having fruit. And we know not how, except God puts His strength in it and makes it happen. What Christ is doing here is using a metaphor of the seed turning into a fruitful plant, saying that is the way that the kingdom of God is. The essence of this parable is to reveal the mysterious workings of the kingdom of God in its slow but steady spiritual progress toward complete fulfillment. We may never understand exactly how all of the mysteries of the kingdom of God develop. We may never understand how everyday situations that we face today fit into the eternal kingdom of God, or exactly how we fit into all of that. But one thing we do know, it's coming. One thing we do know, the kingdom of God is in development and we are a part of that.
We pray that the message has been a blessing to you so far, and we obviously have much more to go on this topic, so we'll be continuing this message for the next 3 Sundays. So I want you to be sure and tune in each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for the remaining messages about the blade, the ear, and the full corn.